I'm going to ask for the Lord's help because I certainly need it. Kind Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. It's powerful. It's precious. It's true. It's more useful today even than it was when it was recorded long ago, Lord. It's all enduring. It stands the test of time in this world for sure. And beyond that, it's inexhaustible. I've heard this familiar story that's familiar to so many. I've heard it preached and taught so many times. And perhaps the message you've given me to share today has been done before. But I can tell you, I certainly never heard it done quite this way. I thank you that your word is so inexhaustible, Lord. We can never wear it out. We can examine it over and over and over again, and each time, something new and beautiful. And I need your help, Lord. Help my stammering tongue. It needs to be all about you this morning, Lord, nothing of myself. I have nothing more than a few jumbled notes of guidelines. So I need your help this morning, Lord. Help me to express the message that you laid on my heart in a way that is meaningful and useful, Lord, to us this morning. Bless us with your anointing spirit, that it be applied to our hearts, that we can go forth from this place and demonstrate it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of my message again this morning, I hope you've been pondering it, perhaps wondering how a message titled in such a way can be one of great hopefulness. I hope I can accomplish that this morning. It is indeed a message of great hopefulness, in spite of the title that perhaps dictates otherwise. You are no match for a giant. You've heard the description of Goliath in my opening scripture, that Goliath of Gath was the height of 6 cubits and a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he is armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of that coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had brass upon his legs and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And if that wasn't enough, he had one bearing a shield that went before him. Now, I didn't look at the weights and measures to put into our English terms how intimidating Goliath was to the armies of Israel, but let's just say this. To them, he was a giant. And everyone in the mighty army of Israel saw him as a giant. And everyone in the mighty army of Israel believed what is important for all of us to know ourselves, because we face many giants in our lives. They don't always come. In fact, I know of them never coming in the form of a giant man, as Goliath was described. But we all have many giants in our lives that we face. We have giants, we have struggles and difficulties in life that are gigantic. They are overwhelming to us. And we're all facing many of them collectively together today with the COVID thing and with the things that are happening in our nation and in our leadership and in the political arena. We all have many giants that we face in life that are just as intimidating to us as Goliath was to the army of Israel at that time. And it's important for us to know what the army of Israel knew. It's easy for us to look down upon them. It's easy for us to look at them as though they were faithless in the God that they believed in. It's easy for us to do that. But it's also important, and that is accurate and that is correct, but it's also important for us to know the very important thing that they knew. They knew that they were no match for that giant. So they stood in array, the army of Israel on the mountain on one side of a valley, and the army of the Philistines on the mountain on the other side of a valley. They stood, so to speak, in a, if I understand the story right, in a stalemate. And this giant, Goliath, this Philistine giant, he challenged the armies of Israel. He said essentially to them, rather than fight and kill each other, here I stand in the valley before you. How about, other than so much bloodshed and so much loss of life, how about you choose one man from your army to come down in this valley and fight with me? And if he can defeat me, we'll be your servants. But if I kill him, you will serve us. And I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to continue reading. After the description of Goliath, we read, beginning with verse 8, 9, 10, and 11. And he stood, Goliath stood, and he cried unto the armies of Israel, and he said unto them, as I just expressed, why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine? And ye servants of Saul, choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they were greatly afraid. It's perfectly natural for us to be afraid when we're facing giants. And it's very important for you to know, as one of God's own, what the armies of Israel knew. You're no match for a giant. So reading on then, in verse 12, we read about David. David comes into the story here in verse 12. And as well, most of you know, David was anointed as the next king of Israel. He was the least likely of eight sons of Jesse to be chosen. In fact, he wasn't even invited to the selection process, as you well know. And I'll just begin reading there. The word examines these things for us. Verse 12, now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had eight sons, and the man went among men of an old man in the days of Saul, for an old man in the days of Saul. In other words, some of Jesse's sons went in his place because he was an old man. They went in his place to fight in the battle. And the three eldest sons of Jesse went, and they followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next on to him, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. And David was the youngest. And the three eldest followed Saul. But David, he went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. He was not most certainly practicing what a king might practice, even though he was anointed. He went back to watching his father's sheep. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself for 40 days. These armies on opposite sides of the valley stood sort of in a stalemate, as this giant would come out every day and challenge them. And the Philistine, he drew near every morning and evening and presented himself for 40 days. And during this time, while these events were happening, in verse 17, Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their thousand. And look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning, and he left the sheep with a keeper, and he took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw him, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. So here again we see 40 days. The armies of Israel knew and never forgot what's important for us to know when we're facing a giant. You're no match for a giant. So David comes into the picture. And he talks with his brothers. He brings the food that he was instructed to bring to his brothers and to the captain of the armies. And he heard these things that were going on. And David analyzed the situation. Verses 26 through 31, David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, What did they say? What shall be done to the man that kills this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done unto the man that killeth him. They repeated what David had heard. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab, he was a little bit perturbed with his little brother. Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why do you come out here? Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know the pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? David defended himself. Our father sent me here. I have a cause. He sent me to bring this food to you and to the captain of the armies. And he turned away from his brothers, verse 30. He turned from his brother Eliab. He turned from him toward another. And he spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and Saul sent for him. They essentially carried what David expressed to Saul, that... And Saul discovered that there was someone that was willing to challenge this giant. And Saul sent for him. And in verses 32 through 37, essentially, David volunteers himself. Verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able, forgive me, I put it in my words sometimes. Saul said unto David, You're not able to go against this Philistine and fight with him. For thou art but a youth, you're just but a boy. How can you go fight with this giant man? Our whole entire army fears him. You're just a boy. And he's a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, now David, give Saul his resume, so to speak. David expresses to Saul his qualifications. Your servant, David said, kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And when I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, and when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine, this giant, shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, moreover, David had a little more to add on to his qualifications. He had a little more to present in his resume. He said, I will tell you this. Moreover, he said, the very Lord that delivered me out of the paw of that lion and out of the paw of that bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. So essentially here, David volunteers himself to fight this giant that everybody's afraid of, and everybody knows they're no match for a giant. David volunteers himself, and Saul informs David that what everybody already knew, you're no match for that giant. And David expresses his qualifications. He presents to Saul his resume, and Saul grants David his permission, and he also grants him the Lord's blessing to go and fight this giant. And that brings us to verse 38 and 39. And here is the second most important thing for us to know when facing a giant. The most important thing for you to know when you're facing a giant in your life, whatever that giant is, whatever that giant looks like, the most important thing for you to know is you're no match for a giant. And the second most important thing for you to know is expressed in verses 38 through 39. Saul gave David his blessing to go and fight the Philistine, and he added the Lord's blessing upon that. In verses 38 and 39, we read, and Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. It's important for us to know when we're facing a giant that we're no match for a giant. And it's, I don't know if I want to put it in first and second. I don't know if I want to rank the importance, but I'll just say it this way. It's important for us to know always when we're facing a giant that we're no match for a giant. And here in verses 38 and 39, is expressed something equally as important or very much important also. When you're facing a giant, don't rely on the king's armor. If I can relate it to circumstances that we're experiencing together today with the COVID thing, don't rely on the best protection available. Those that have taken the greatest precautions are still contracting this virus. Don't rely on those things. Don't refuse to use those things if they're available to you and they make you feel comfortable and you believe in them, but don't you rely on them, because those that have had the greatest protection from COVID-19 have still contracted the virus. And not only that, this virus has reached the farthest, remotest places in this world, even Antarctica. We're no match for this giant. You are no match for any giant that you face in your life. It's important for you to know that. And it's also important for you to know that you can't rely on the king's armor. You can't rely on this or that. You can't rely on government authorities to defeat the giants in your life or defeat the giant that is COVID-19. You can't rely on those things. And it's being expressed here. David expressed it himself. I can't go with these things. These things haven't proved to be dependable to me when I face things that are overwhelming to me. David said, I have to stick to the things that I have been, that have been proven to me, and we have to stick to the things whenever we're facing a giant in life that have been proven to us. We don't know how all the time, how we're gonna be able to overcome the giant that stands before us, no matter what that giant is. We don't know how it seems, he seems overwhelming to us. He seems so gigantic to us, whatever the giant is that stands before you. But it's important for you to know one thing. Although you are no match for that giant, if you're faced with a giant, you don't have a choice. You can't run from it and you can't hide. It's not going anywhere, just like COVID-19's not going anywhere. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. But it's important for you to know, because you have to fight this giant whether you like it or not. You have no choice. It's important for you to know that you better stick to what's been proven to you. And what's been proven to me is my God will see me through. What's been proven to me is my God is good. If I go down into that valley to fight Goliath and I defeat him, God is good. But I want to tell you something that's even more precious and special to me, and important for all of us to know when we're facing a giant. If I go down into that valley and that giant defeats me, my God is still good. He's amazing. He's almighty. And he has all authority. It doesn't matter what giant is standing before you. And I get a little put off when people say God is in control of everything. Yes, he is, in the sense that he can prevent anything that's happening in our world today in a moment of time. But I can tell you this, he is not directing every event that is happening in this world, because a lot of it's bad and a lot of it's evil, and it comes from only one place. And I'll not contribute that to my Lord and my God, because I know he is almighty. And I know that even though he doesn't dictate every evil that's happening in this world, I know that he will turn it around and use it for his good. So if you want to say in that sense that he is in control, I'll go along with that. But I get a little put off when people say God's in control of everything, because when I look at the horrible things that are happening in the world of my around me, I would have to say to myself, if God's dictating those things, if he's controlling those things, if he's making those things happen, he's not very good at his job. And I know my God is very good at his job. And I know that everything that's happening in this world, even if the devil meant it for harm, God will turn it around to his good. And it's important for us to know, whenever we're facing a giant in life, whether you want to name it the one we're all facing collectively today, or if it's something more personal in your own life, it's important for you to know that you are no match for a giant. But you better remember this important thing also. Stick to the things that are proven, and God has proven to me that he is good. No matter what happens to me when I fight every giant that comes along my way, whether I prevail or he prevails, my God is still good. He's almighty. He's amazing. And I'm going to stick to what has been proven to me, and that is exactly what David did. And he expressed that in verses 38 and 39. I can't go with these, your armor. The king's armor hasn't been proven to me. I have to stick to what has always worked for me. In verse 40, we read, David took his staff in his hand, and he chose five smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his own sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. I want to tell you, sometimes when you're facing a giant, if you stick to the thing that's proven to you, as David did, you're going to look a little ridiculous. And I can tell you to the armies of Israel, and I can tell you to the armies of the Philistines, and it will be expressed here as I continue on in Scripture, I can tell you to this mighty giant, David looked a little bit ridiculous when he ran down that hill with his little sling and five stones. But David stuck to the thing that had been proven to him, and that's expressed as we go on. In verse 41, and the Philistine, Goliath, came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw little David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He was a little boy. And the giant was offended that such an opponent would even come against him. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee unto mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thee the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. And here comes the most important thing. I will rank them. This is the most important thing for us to know when we're faced with a giant. They're all important. Yes, it's important that we know we're no match for a giant. Yes, it's important for us to know we have to stick to what's proven and what's worked for us if we have any hope to defeat the giants in our life. But here is the most important thing to know when you're faced with a giant in life, and David knew it, and he expressed it to the very giant he was about to face. He said, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. And the story goes on. It came to pass when the Philistine arose, you know the story well, and came and drew nigh to David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in the forehead. And that stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a simple sling and with a stone, and he smote the Philistine and he slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. I have a conclusion here, and I'll get to it. It's very important for us to know when we're facing a giant, we're no match for a giant. It's very important for us to know, don't rely on the king's armor. What our authorities and governments can do in helpfulness to us when we're facing a giant, they've not been proven to me. One thing's been proven to me. my Lord and my God. When I'm facing a giant, I'll look to him. I'll count on him. I'll rely on him. The other important thing to know that I expressed is the battle is not ours. We're no match for a giant. The battle's the Lord's. Give it into his hands. And I would like to express in closing, because it's so relevant to what we're all experiencing together in the world right now, I would like to express to you that when David ran down that hill towards that giant, everybody thought it was probably one of the most ridiculous things they ever seen. And I'm sure everyone probably thought, this isn't going to take long. That giant's going to squash him like a bug. I can promise you nobody felt like David was going to be able to defeat that giant that was before him. And I want to tell you, when we as God's people are faced with giants, those same eyes of skepticism are upon us always, as was so expressed in Mike's Sunday school lesson this morning. The world of lost and dying souls around us are watching how we react when we encounter giants in our life. And it's important for us to know the very basic and helpful and useful principles that David knew as he faced the giant Goliath. And I want to express to you in closing, it's very important for us to know that the armies of Israel and the armies of the Philistine and the giant himself, they seen something ridiculous when David ran down that hill to face that giant. And perhaps there was some that said to themselves, this young boy, he's a little crazy for sure, because this giant's going to squash him like a bug. But I got to give you this. This young boy is very courageous. Perhaps even some thought that David was courageous. But I want to tell you this. When David ran down that hill as a little boy to face that giant, it was not courage that he displayed. No, sir, none whatsoever. I can tell you David himself believed that he was no match for that giant. I can tell you that David himself, even though he slayed the lion and he slayed the bear and he did who knows what all amazing things as he kept his father's sheep, even though he had them things as part of his resume, I promise you when he ran down that hill, he didn't feel like he was any match for that giant. I promise you when he ran down that hill, he perhaps felt a little bit like an idiot himself. I can promise you as he ran down that hill, he felt no courage whatsoever. And he was not performing a courageous act. I can tell you when he ran down that hill to face that giant, he displayed what every one of us in Christ, every one of us as faithful believers in Christ Jesus our Lord and a God Almighty need to display when we're facing giants, whether it has the name of COVID-19 or whatever the name of the giant is. What David displayed when he ran down that hill to face that giant is what we all need to display when we're facing giants in life, because the world of lost and dying souls, their eyes are looking upon us. They're waiting to see how we react to the giants that we face in life. And we need to be a light and a testament to them of hope. When David ran down that hill to face that giant, he was not expressing, he was not displaying great courage. He was displaying great hopefulness in a God Almighty that can defeat anything that comes your way. He was displaying great hopefulness in a God Almighty, knowing that even if that giant defeated him, God will still prevail in the end. And he is great, and he is almighty, and he is awesome, and he is amazing. And I have been so disheartened. Mike expressed it much in his lesson. I have been so disheartened how the church fell down on such a grand scale when the giant of COVID-19 came. We are to express a hopefulness. We are to express something that the world looks at us and says, I don't know what makes them so rock solid. I don't know what makes them not afraid of this giant thing. But whatever it is, I like what I see, and I want to have what they have. And the church has fallen down on a grand scale. It has been so disheartening to me. Where is the hopefulness being expressed? It's easy for all of us to get caught up in the hopelessness that we see in the world around us with the thing that's going on with the virus. And it's even easy for us to get caught up in the hopelessness when we see the things that are happening in our political arena. I'm telling you, it's easy to get caught up in hopelessness, and it's easy to be down in the mouth, and it's easy to be pessimistic. I have to endure it a little bit in my own family, I hate to admit, but I can tell you this. I try my best, as David did when he ran down that hill to meet that giant. I try to run down the hill to meet every giant that comes into my life. And this is our responsibility as God's own people, as persons of faith. It's our responsibility to express and display hopefulness. No matter what giant we're facing, the world should look upon us and see they have a hope, because we indeed have a hope in the one and only true and living God. And we have never been presented with a greater opportunity than the one we're presented with right now to express that hope to a lost and a dying world. Should these be seats be empty? They should be full. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. It is indeed the habit of some to pick any and every excuse under the sun not to assemble. But we were instructed clearly, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And this is the most important part of that instruction, even more so as you see the day approaching. Friends, I can tell you, before COVID-19 came along, I seen the day of our Lord's coming approaching. And we're to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even more so as you see that day approaching. That has been so disheartening to me. What is the world seeing? Mike expressed it in his Sunday school lesson. What is the world seeing when the seats in our churches are empty? Because there's a giant before us. I go along with what Mike said to some extent. If you're sick, don't come out in respect of others, for goodness sakes. But don't forsake the assembly. The church has fallen down on a grand scale. I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. But we have a responsibility, whenever we're facing a giant in life, to display what David displayed when he ran down that hill. He displayed hopefulness in a true and living and almighty God. And everybody seen that hopefulness. And everybody was ashamed and embarrassed and said, we should be like that. And those that didn't know God, perhaps the thought entered their mind, whatever makes him like that, I need to have that also for the giants I face in my life. We have a great opportunity. Let's don't squander it. This thing's gonna pass. This thing's going to go away. I mentioned in my New Year's message, storms come and storms go. Life is like the weather. You're in a storm sometime, but the sun shines again. But remember, life's like a weather. There's another storm coming. We have had a great opportunity to express hopefulness to the lost and dying souls around us. And I shamefully have to admit that the church collectively fell down on a grand scale. But we'll have another opportunity. Another storm will come. Let us go forward, expressing hopefulness everywhere and to everyone we encounter in life, no matter what giant we're facing. And I apologize for the length of my message. I certainly thought I could say it in a shorter period of time, but I'll close nevertheless. Kind Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word and its power and its truthfulness and its usefulness, Lord. And I want to pray once again that it be rightly applied to our hearts, Lord. Because what happens here is important because of what happens when we exit this place, when we go outside those doors. Apply your word to our hearts, Lord, that we can go forth and demonstrate it in our lives and truly be a light of hopefulness onto a world that sees much hopelessness. I just thank you for this time and these you've given me to share it with. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, bless, watch over, and keep us as we go our separate ways. In your name we pray. Amen.